In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The righteous of any faith are always righteous men and righteous women. And the unrighteous of any faith are always unrighteous and hate God and try to dominate their neighbors and to prove that they themselves stand in some greater position. Oftentimes, faith itself can encourage us to believe such things. We have the example of St. Paul, who, before he took the name Paul, as Saul, persecuted violently the Christians and tried to destroy and stamp out that faith. He understood the self-righteousness of false people. There is a righteousness in what we call the Old Testament. There is a righteousness of the Old Covenant. After all, we know that the example of the Theotokos is an example of someone who fulfilled righteousness in an entirely human way within the community of the Old Covenant, growing up in the temple and loving God from her youth. That was the faith that was preached by Moses and the prophets. We hear of the rich man who is suffering torment at a distance from Father Abraham, and he calls out, "Have mercy on me." Those words are familiar to us as Christians. "Lord, have mercy on me." If only he had called out in that kind of way in his life, rather than being satisfied with the fruits of this world, living, as it says, well every day, eating the best food, wearing the best clothing. We have to look to ourselves. We don't do so badly, even when we think we're not doing as well as we deserve. We don't eat as the poor and nearly starving eat, the way Lazarus did outside of the wealthy person's gate for all those years. Instead, we grow angry at God if we don't have the best possible way of life. And that is a sign of our unrighteousness. St. Paul understands from his past what the Jews who are demanding circumcision of the converts to the Christian faith, what they want. He says to the Galatians, "These people only want to have you do something that puts you within their realm of false righteousness. Once you are circumcised, then they will be able to have some influence over you because they are already members of this ancient community. But they don't live according to Moses and the prophets," he says. The way Abraham told the wealthy man in Hades was sufficient in order that he might not have found himself in that place. By following that path of righteousness, he would have found himself in the bosom of Abraham. Even before the time of the coming of Christ, the difference between living as we ought to live, as good and decent and righteous human beings, and living in a way that we ignore those around us who are suffering while we live well. All those things were well understood, even before Christ. And we have, again, to look to ourselves and consider, are we as Christians among the righteous or are we among the unrighteous? It's just as possible for us as Christians to live thinking of ourselves as following our faith. We must be doing well because God prefers us to others who aren't doing so well. That's how the rich man thought. That's how the unrighteous of the Old Covenant thought. And it can go to an incredible extreme. Today we remember the Saint Aretas, and he may be unfamiliar to many of us. He lived in the 6th century in Arabia, at a time before the rise of Islam. Justin was the emperor of the empire. But Aretas lived in a city far from Constantinople, way down in Arabia. But his town was a Christian town. The people were a Christian people. There was a monastery there. There were monks and nuns and Christian people. But the governor of that land was not a Christian. He was a self-righteous Jewish governor, the way Paul might have been before he was chosen by Christ. Same kind of self-righteous determination to wipe out those who were not of his self-righteous faith. The people of that town owed a tribute to the governor. And the governor came to the town intending to destroy the town and all of its people. They were aware when he came with his armies that that was his intention, and so they closed up the gates of the city. And they were under siege for some time until finally the governor came before the gate and called out to the Aretas because he was the leader in the city. He was an old man, a 95-year-old man. If you open the gates and let me in, I will simply receive my tribute and turn around and leave with my armies. And the Christians believed him. And they opened the gates. And the governor brought in all of his armies and killed Aretas, first to lay his head on the block, none accepting the option of denying Christ. The governor killed everyone in the city. Over 4,000 people, Christian people, monks, and nuns. The emperor Justin found out about this disaster in Arabia. Here is a world that we know nothing about early in the 6th century. The emperor sent a message to the Christian emperor of Ethiopia in Africa, to the south of Arabia, and asked him to send an army. And the emperor did send an army, and he put down the rebellion of this unrighteous governor. And he sent a new governor, Gregory, who became known as Saint Gregory of Arabia. The loss of life that occurred in that city worked to the glory of that part of the world. Now they had a leader of the people in that area who was a holy man. The difference between righteousness and unrighteousness is a difficult choice for us in our lives. Righteous men and women lost their lives that day in the city when the city was destroyed. But they transformed that part of the world into a garden of spiritual life. They didn't just put the safety of their own lives and living as the rich man did sumptuously. They didn't take that as their standard of life. We have to again ask ourselves which side we're on. Are we on the side of the righteous and those who love God and those who are willing to give up anything that they have for the sake of the new life that we've been given? It's a choice that we make without realizing it. We can be self-righteous and be on the other side standing against the holy ones without realizing it. St. Paul says that the reason that these unrighteous men and women wanted the converts to be circumcised is because they themselves do not want to suffer for the cross of Christ. We all have to suffer because we have to reject and deny our love of the things of the world. We all have to suffer because in order to enter into this new life, the things of God and spiritual righteousness and the transformation that is possible for us is going to be a path of suffering spiritually, where we reject the standards of the world and let God transform us into a new way of life, the life of Christ himself. These false Christians who demand circumcision of the converts, they reject that life. they're false Christians. And if they can put in place some kind of standard that makes it unnecessary for them to live as true Christians, then they will be justified. They'll be using the law in a wrong kind of way. The standards of righteousness and goodness don't change. The law and the prophets are enough for people to know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And we have to make those distinctions in our life. It's always a choice between ourselves and Christ. We can't call ourselves Christians unless our desire is to unite ourselves to Him. To take on the spiritual effort, we have to examine our own lives and look to see if we are trying to live a so-called Christian life without actually living the life that God has made it possible for us to live through Him, with Him, and in Him. As St. Paul says, the blessings of the grace of God be alive in all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.